Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So on our first Sundays, we set this time aside and we make it a time of body ministry praying. Thank you, brothers, for allowing me to speak and just share with you this morning. We steward this place that God has given us. I think you know we own this place. And so we steward the presence in this place, okay? And so we don't believe just on Sundays that God shows up. We believe he's here. He's in this building. He's on this property. Amen. And it's not just on this property. He's in this community. Hallelujah. Come on, can you declare that right now? God is moving. Come on, the kingdom of God is moving in this community, in this city, in this region, in this state, and in this nation. Okay. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Come on, thank the Lord. Tell somebody, don't get it twisted. God is in charge. Not necessarily in control, but he's in charge. Now he's in control through his church. That's you and me. That's why we got to own our stuff. Meaning, we were with Apostle Brooks, and he and I were talking. He said, "Man, listen." He said, "Some days I wonder, how did this get like this on my watch?" I want you to think about that for a moment, because see, you were born for such a time as this. You could have been born at any other time. How many of you? How many see those shows where they got the horse and buggies? How many are glad you weren't born back then? Okay, I'm waving both of my hands because I'm glad I wasn't back then with the horse and buggies and the outhouses and some of those conveniences of that time that wouldn't seem very convenient right now. But we have to ask ourselves the question, why is it I'm in this generation? Why is it that I'm here now? I believe it's because you're here, I'm here, we're here to make a difference. You have to know this, that the enemy can't read your mind. He doesn't know God's plans, but he can look and he can get a visual. He recognizes potential at a small age. You do understand that by the time a child is 2 years old, a great deal of their personality and who they are has already been framed. That's why we have the onus on us as parents, as grandparents now, to really steward. We see that baby, we see that child, and say, "Oh, they're so cute." Yeah, but you need to put something in them right now before somebody else puts something in them that gets them off track. So now we find ourselves trying to redeem. We find ourselves trying to reset and recalibrate some things. But God's going to help us do it. I need about seven of y'all to clap with the seven that's clapping right now. God's going to help us do it. You're here to make a difference. You're here for a reason. I believe in the power of declaration. I believe in the power of the word we've been talking about. The word of God is working. The word of God is alive and working. Make no mistake about it, as crazy as things are, not look, they are crazy all over the place. But this is what I understand about God. God is sovereign. Two of you all agreed with me. God is sovereign. I said God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Hallelujah. He makes no mistakes. And whether you realize it or not, everything, say everything. Everything. Now hear me, this might be a stretch for some of you all. Everything is playing out just as he said it would. That's a little scary, isn't it, for some? Because you look and you wonder and you say, well, why is this happening? God, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And I submit to you that he's looking at you and saying, why is this happening? Why are you letting it happen? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So when I think about God, and I just want to share this passage here, because Recently, I was asked a question. Last Sunday, we sang the song Holy Forever, and I just made a simple statement. I said, God is holy. And Apostle Brooks, he was asking me over dinner. He said, when you say God is holy, what do you mean? What do you see? He said, there's something about the way you said it that makes me think you know something. And so, these are the types of passages of scripture that I seek out. And you may as well, and you may seek out others, and they work for you. But these are the passages I seek out to help me stay in the proper kingdom perspective. So this is just one passage, real quick. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the vault of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing. Check that. Who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I should be his equal, says the Holy One. Mm-hmm. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads them forth by host, by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. That's how I see him. He's Savior. I'm going to say it to somebody else. He's Savior. He's Savior. He's Lord. He's God. All by himself. There is none beside him. There is none like him. None like him. None like him. So it's out of that perspective, it's out of that place that we want to raise our expectation. What is it that God wants to do here and right now? We have been talking about that the Word of God is alive and is working. It's alive and it's working. And I need to make sure I deliver this word real quick. Brothers, how much time you got? How much time you got? 30, about 30, good. I'm going to get this word to you in 30 minutes, because it's a word that we all need to hear. For some, you may think it's a refresher. Well, let it refresh you. Let it refresh you. We've been talking about the Word of God is alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We've also quoted this particular passage of scripture. God said, my word will go forth, not return to you void, but accomplish that which I am pleased and prosper, whereunto the thing that I have sent it. Can you say with me this morning, God's word is working. Come on, say, God's word is working in my life right now. So for the next few moments, I want to focus on this passage of scripture out of 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We're talking about God's word working. But I want you to understand four aspects of that word working in your life, working in my life. That has to do with this. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says this. All scripture, say all word. All word is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, or the woman of God, or let's just say the saints of God, I like that even better, so that the saints of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Reading it from the Message Bible, it says this, Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way through the Word. We are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. So the Word is working. This Word is working. And in this particular passage, I want you to understand what he's talking about here. This Word is perfecting us, and it's working in four ways. Say, teaching me.
Teaching me.
Come on, say, teaching me.
Teaching me.
Rebuking me.
Rebuking.
Ouch. We don't like that word. Correcting me. And training me. Very recently, last week, the Brooks and we went to this movie, The Forge. If you haven't seen that movie, I want to encourage you to see it. We're gathering the men together for everybody to go. And so if you haven't got an invitation, know that one's on the way if you connect it to this house. Or if you're interested in going, you can see David after service. David, raise your hand. David is right back there. And we can work it out for you to be a part of that gathering. It's an incredible movie. And the reason why I am just sharing that is because there's a book that came out in relation to the movie. And that book is called Devoted to Jesus. I downloaded it immediately, and I found it to be very relevant for all believers. It's a discipleship book that covers 52 chapters. So you got one for each week. It's written by Stephen and Alex Kendrick. They're the Kendrick brothers. If you're familiar with some of the movies that they've put out, Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, there's some other ones. And then there's The Forge, which is the newest one. But in this particular book, there's a chapter called Obeying the Word. Obeying the Word. And it's out of this passage of Scripture that it speaks to these four points as to how the Word is working. So I want to share this with you. I want to share it with everyone here. Share it with those that are watching. So that you can understand that God's work is a complete work. Say complete work. His Word is a complete Word. As a matter of fact, give me one second here. So I want you to listen to this. This is an excerpt as well from the book. I'm tracking my time, so you guys can get this word before y'all go get that food. All right? Immature Christians are slow to obey Scripture, slow to obey the Word. They doubt and they delay. They fear and forget. They rationalize why it's better to wait and hold back, thinking they must fully understand everything first before they can obey Him. But that's not trust. God doesn't operate that way. He asks us to trust and follow Him first. Going all the way back to Abraham, He said, I just need you to trust me and just start walking. I'll tell you as you go. Now, most believers, we try to say we're people of faith, but we don't really know what the depth of faith is. There's depths and levels of faith that cause God to do incredible things in your life just because you're foolish enough to believe that He will do it through you. He asks us to trust and follow Him first, and then He will clarify the path later while obeying Him. I need to just pause right there for just a moment. So often God speaks to us, and we're trying to rationalize it. And if it doesn't make sense, we just don't do it. And you need to know, it's not good or bad, it's not right or wrong, but it could be more or less. The mature believers take God's word more seriously. They receive it with humility, faith, and joy, with willingness and wisdom. They don't work on excuses, but on ways to make it happen, knowing they can rely on His Spirit and grace to carry them through it. They pray, "Oh Father, thank you for your precious word. I love you and I receive it. Please change my heart and life so I will trust you completely and do what you are asking." See, the mature believer just simply says, you know, I don't understand it. I'm not getting it. but I trust you. All scripture, all word is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the believer may be complete, equipped for every good work. So let's look at these four points very quickly. God's word teaches us. Say, God's word teaches us. Come on, say it again. God's word teaches us. Come on, say, God's word teaches me. Scripture turns on the light of truth so that you can see everything more clearly. This type of teaching is doctrine. Truth-filled instruction about God, about people, about the world, and how to know Him and the abundant life Jesus offers. Doctrine does not comprise merely of commands to obey, but truths to believe. The Bible uses true stories. You do understand that these are true stories. They're not made up. These are true, as crazy as some of them are. These are true stories. The Bible uses true stories, true testimonies, and truthful teaching to clarify what is reality and what is fantasy. The difference between good and evil. It reveals the true nature of everything. Things get clearer in the light of God's word. We not only discover His nature, but our own nature too. The word of God teaches. My word will go forth and not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper wherein the thing that I have sent it. Come on, say, Father, help me to cooperate with your word. That's why it's important to be under teaching, be under sound teaching, good doctrine. So it's word that you hear and it's word that you can apply. I'm grateful that at least one of the testimonies out of our house is that it's a teaching house. That you can get good word there, you can get solid word there. It's not fluff. We're not a Similac church. Can't be. Not in the times in which we live. That's why we're talking about the word of God is working in us to grow us up, mature us, get us moving on. People are dying and going to hell on our watch, on my watch. God forbid. I don't want to give an account for what I didn't do. I don't want to give an account for my rejection of the word because I never trusted him enough to believe that he was more powerful enough to do it himself through me. God's word rebukes us. I know that that's a, you know, when you hear the word rebuke, everybody's like, but rebuke just simply is a stronger corrective. Rebuking means stop it. You know how that child's about to touch that hot stove. Now you can let them learn the lesson the hard way, or you can rebuke. Stop it. Just stop. And I want to say to you, there are times in all of our lives when the Holy Spirit is saying, stop. The word of God rebukes us. Say that. Come on, say, the word of God rebukes us. Come on, say, the word of God rebukes me. Truth helps us realize when we're wrong or deceived in some way, when we're walking backwards or living upside down. Some verses will shoot straight with tough love and tell us to wake up, stop, turn around, to face the insanity and get off at the next exit. The Bible, you see, this word of God, it's a plumb line in your hand. You do understand that. You see, your life needs to line up. You know what a plumb line is? Plumb line is it's usually a string, and on the end is a weight. And when you hold it up, it is perfectly straight. And so they use it in construction. When they're putting in a wall, they will do a plumb line, or that's the word. The Bible is a plumb line. You can find it in Amos 7, verse 7. Exposing where we're not measuring up. Not to condemn or discourage us, but to deliver us from evil and lies, from vanity and stupidity. How many know sometimes some of the stuff we just do, it's just stupid. I'm going to raise my hand. Yeah, sometimes you just need to just call me stupid. Now, I do have another acronym for that I'll share at a later time that makes it more honoring. But sometimes we need somebody to say, we need somebody to rebuke us. That's just stupid. Even one verse can free up a lot of bondage and baggage in your life. If a passage, listen to this, if a passage convicts you, don't ignore it, overreact, or get offended. God is love, and He always has your long-term best interests in mind. He's also worthy of your life and wants to purify you. Therefore, He can do more through you than you could ever imagine. Ephesians 3 and 20. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God's word rebukes us. God's word corrects us. God's word corrects us. Say that. Come on, say, God's word corrects me. God turns us from our worst so that He can return us to His best. A command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and corrective discipline is the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Corrective verses instruct us towards a new, better normal, towards God's best. They work like a physician setting a broken bone back into perfect alignment. In parentheses, I added this, sometimes a painful process, but the end result is being made whole again. The Bible doesn't merely say stop lying, but shows us what to replace it with, speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4, 15 through 29. His rebuke stops us and His correction restarts us. From walking in bitterness to walking in love and forgiveness. Scripture beautifully shows us His perfect will for the various areas of our lives, always providing the best way to align us with His nature. We need teaching so that we realize what's going on. We need rebuking so we can throw on the brake and the blinker. We need correcting to make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. Ephesians 12, 13. Lastly, God's word trains us. God's word, it trains us. When we get back on track, the Bible helps us stay on track. You do understand that before you received Christ, you were off track. Man, we were all going to hell. And I don't mind saying it that strongly, because I just think there's some things we've gotten away from, either trying to be politically correct or seeker sensitive. No, there is a real hell. Those that may see that there is a real hell. I don't care what they say. And Jesus gave His life. He paid the price to get us back on track. Adam messed it up. Jesus came and fixed it. Jesus came and settled it. When we get back on track, the Bible helps us stay on track. Jesus doesn't rescue us and then abandon us. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He faithfully keeps walking with us and equipping us through his word for deeper and deeper intimacy with him and for lasting faithfulness. David said it this way, there is no hiding place. I could go to the outermost places and I'd find you there. I could go to the deepest. I can't hide. You can't hide. We can't hide. And if we could understand that this word is to help us align our lives so that we can walk out the very best that he has for us, then we can be okay. We can receive the teaching, receive the rebuking, receive the correction, all the while being trained. He faithfully keeps walking with us and equipping us through his word for deeper and deeper intimacy with him and for a lasting faithfulness. Many verses give us enduring training in righteousness to establish wiser thinking, more reliable relationships, better boundaries, and a healthier habits so that we can enjoy the blessings of freedom and fruitful devotion. All four of these, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, masterfully work together to clean us, mature us, and complete us. They truly equipped us for every good work God may assign. So when you hear the scripture, how should you apply it? Willingly, joyfully, prayerfully, and intentionally. Doing the word, obeying your Lord. I am committed to cooperating with his word. I am committed to cooperating with his word. Can you say that? Can you say it a little louder? I am committed to cooperating with his word. Well, that's the word for today. Men, you receive that?